The coach for this week with GPA is Dr. Bill Brown, one of our graduates at the seminary. He is a speaker, writer, leader, and mentor. Dr. Brown has written over 100 articles for journals and magazines, newspapers, and encyclopedias. He's the author of Making Sense of Your Faith, Where Have All the Dreamers Gone?, and Making Sense of Your World, a book used by many colleges and universities as an introductory text to worldview / philosophical thinking. His writings have been quoted in various national newspapers and magazines. For over 20 years, he has served as president of two Christ-centered universities and is currently the senior executive of an international technology firm with offices in Kiev, London, and Boston. Dr. Brown travels extensively, speaking and mentoring business and ministry leaders around the world. Those two universities were Bryan College in Dayton, Tennessee, and Cedarville College in Ohio that he was the president of. We're so glad to have our own Dr. Bill Brown. And Bill, you take your full 10 minutes. I bequeath that to you right now. Let's welcome Dr. Bill Brown.
I am a blessed man. Thank you, Chaplain Bill. Well, good morning, everyone. Good morning. So good to see you. It's always a blessing to come back. I just think about the 25 men I get to spend time with. 25 different countries. That doesn't happen a lot. I mean, not just missionaries in these countries, but people from these countries who have a heart and soul and mind and ministry for where they live. The challenges are different. The challenges are the same. We are all followers in Jesus Christ. We all are battling many of the same things. At the same time, it's the same Lord, same faith, same future. And I love doing this more than anything else I do each year. So I thought, because many of you are taking classes now, I would try to be as practical as I could to give your mind a rest and hopefully encourage your heart. Something that has meant a lot to me personally. I was thinking about when Pastor Bill called me, and what could I share that has really been strategic since I left Dallas Seminary. In fact, Ramesh and I were fellow students here. We lived near each other, our wives and us. And I've grown some in Christ since then, the 5 years since I left. I can't count. Yeah. So. I want to take us to one verse in Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. And just one little word helped transform my Christian life as I was growing in the Lord. Yeah, the Gospel of Luke, as you know, the critical mass of the Gospel of Luke is the way that Luke records Jesus' journey to Jerusalem, from Galilee down to Jerusalem. He goes to die. From the end of chapter 9 all the way through chapter 19 is a story of that journey and what Jesus did, what Jesus said, and all that happened. And that's the fulcrum of which all the whole Gospel of Luke turns. But before he begins that journey, Jesus lays out in verse 22, I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to be delivered into the hands of the religious leaders. I'm going to be executed. And I'm going to rise from the dead. And it's as if Jesus is saying, okay, after Peter acknowledges who Jesus is, this is what's going to happen. And then he says in verse 23, the focus of the passage today is simply this. If anyone wants to come after me, they deny themselves, take up their cross daily, follow me. Simple. Those of you who are preachers, you've probably used that passage a lot. Perfect 3 points. Just add the poems, you're done. But it's so strategic when Jesus is saying this. The first thing, of course, is to deny yourself. Our culture says, fulfill yourself. You got a desire, you got an itch, you need to have it fulfilled and scratched. But Jesus, in many ways, I think, is foreshadowing Peter denying him in the not-too-distant future. Same word. Peter was so self-centered that he denied Christ. And what Christ is saying here is that we should be so Christ-centered that we deny ourselves. Our bodies are wonderful servants, but terrible masters. And in the same way, true humility is not in thinking less of ourselves or thinking rightly of ourselves, as you hear him say, but it's not thinking of ourselves at all, but to turn ourselves inward out to the people around us. Mayo Clinic just released one of their many reports on what happiness is in the world. This came out yesterday. And basically what they say is people who are the happiest are people who think of themselves less than others. That is, they look at the people around them and they see positive things and they're more concerned about the people around them. Now, we know that from the scriptures. Mayo Clinic's just coming around to that. Deny yourself, take up your cross. Again, Jesus is foreshadowing what he's going to do. Those who were executed in this matter, you know, were forced to carry part of the cross with them up to the place where they would be executed. It was intended to be a humiliating experience. It was intended to be a warning to everyone else. Because basically what you're saying is, I broke the laws of the Roman government, and I am going to pay the ultimate price. Of course, Jesus flipped that script, and instead of it being a walk of shame, instead of it being a parade of death and despair, it's become an incredible, incredible opportunity for life and hope when we think of that. He's calling us to do the same, because as the surrounding people and the surrounding culture looked at him in supposed humiliation, Jesus stood tall because he was going in a sacrificial way to die for us. And the Lord is saying to us the same way, don't let the culture determine who you are or what you do. You take up that cross. That's what glorified God, and that's what's God's will. And then he says, follow me. In fact, this is what Jesus says the most, is a command, 22 times in the Gospels. Follow me. Very simple. He says it at the beginning of his ministry. He says it after he's resurrected in John 21 to Peter. Follow me. We've been talking on GPA. Sometimes we get so confused. We got so many facts in our head, got so many things we're doing that we forget the fundamentals. To follow Jesus. We're not following a book or a church or a religion or a denomination or a worldview or a philosophy. We're following a person, the person of Jesus Christ, who loves us so, so much. Not in spite of our sin, but because of it and with it, he embraces us. But the little word that really changed the way I live my life is that little word, daily. Take up your cross daily. It's easy to skip over that. It's a key to the Christ-centered life, I believe, is this. It's Christ is calling us to live in a daily manner. Now, that sounds trite. Let me see if I can explain it in ways where it's not as trite. His mercies are new when? Every morning. We can't worry about tomorrow. We've got enough for today, right? The Apostle Paul, we just read, he says, I'm forgetting what's behind. I got to forget what's behind. And how many of us have hurts and failures in the past that continue to latch onto us again and again and again and tend to handicap us from enjoying this day? How many of us have problems for the future? How many of us has uncertainties for the future that rob us from today? And what the Lord is saying is today, today. Paul says, I die daily, every day. And guess what he's getting at is this, that we are called to reboot our lives every single morning. Over the years, I've had the opportunity to work with addicts. Drug addicts, alcohol addiction, sexual addiction, and so on. I don't know why. I've never struggled with that, but God has always put me into that particular area of ministry. And if any of you have dealt with addiction personally or with a friend, it's a different way of looking at life, isn't it? It's incredibly, incredibly difficult to deal with those with addictions. I actually led an Alcoholics Anonymous retreat in Kiev not long ago. 25 addicts, and there was I. And they said, we want you to speak to our group. But we don't want you to teach, because if you know addicts, addicts don't want to be taught. They just want to make the next right decision. So be very practical. Talk about your life, and we want you to speak 9 times in 2 days.
And of course, I've got no addiction stories. And I said, you want me to speak 9 times? What do you think I am, a cat? I mean, where am I going to get? But it was amazing, again, listening to them. They say, I am broken. And this is a Christ-centered one as well. I am broken. I have to focus on Christ's presence right now. Because if you know anything about addicts, they never say, I will never drink again. They say what? I will not drink today. It's all I can handle. It's today. Don't tell me about tomorrow. In fact, a good friend of mine named Oleg, I've been mentoring him for 7 years. When he gets overwhelmed, he calls his sponsor. He says, too much stress. I need to drink. I told you I'd call you before I drink. I'm going to drink. And the sponsor talks with him for a while. He says, okay, you can drink tomorrow. And of course, what happens? Then tomorrow becomes today. I was in London and I went to an AA meeting. I show up at AA meetings sometimes. And the guy who was leading it had been sober for 32 years. And I said, does it get any easier? He said, no, every day. Every day is a struggle. I need him every moment. And I thought, wouldn't it be something if Christians actually recognized how broken we are? We're addicted to different things, but how broken we really are and how much we need Christ's presence right now to live that way. God is so active in our lives. It's like John Piper says, God is doing 10,000 things in your life today and you're only seeing a couple of them. Seriously, right? And my prayer every morning is, God, I want to see your hand today. It does 3 things for us. First, it raises our sensibilities to God's presence and work in our lives. When you are fully in the moment today, you become aware as you pray, God, let me see your hand. You start seeing things you never saw before. Is God at work? Absolutely. We sing it. We preach it. We teach it. But it's real. And some of our brothers here, they have to live like that in the countries in which they live. Secondly, it stems the growth of habitual sins. When you reboot your life every single day, you're coming to Christ just wide open. I am broken. And he says, I know. People fail and fall away from Christ by small decisions on a daily basis. Not usually big ones, but small ones. You stem that by pushing that reset button. And then, of course, on the other hand, you build the habit of positive spiritual growth. We're talking about Nehemiah a little bit, and Nehemiah did an incredible work for God, but before he was doing that, he was daily with the Lord. He had no idea what God had for him in the future, but it's because today he was in the Word with the Lord. A faithful Christ-centered life is made up of faithful Christ-centered days, just like a good run is made up of good steps, step by step. So every day we put the past behind us and we give God tomorrow. We see his hand. We stand up and say, Lord, use me. And let him wrap his arms around you like the prodigal's father. With all your pig-smelling sins and the humiliation that you have brought to the family, let him love you. Let him clothe you. Let him celebrate you this day. You will never become in the future what you are not becoming today. It's absolutely inescapable. And we do that day by day. So let me encourage you. God's got people in your life today that you need to hear from. Maybe it's a conversation. God's got people into your life today that God wants you to use in their life. God doesn't waste your time or his. And I say, Lord, I want to be the answer to some mother's prayer for their son. I want to be the answer to somebody's prayer. And I need to hear from the people around. I don't want to miss a thing. I want to see your hand today. Today's one more day, but it's also one less day. And it's all yours. Let's celebrate. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you so much for the people in this room. I pray that wherever they are in their walk with you, that they will be so aware of your love, your grace, the compassion and passion that you have for them, and let them have the same attitude toward themselves that you do. And then let them take that acceptance, that love, and that forgiveness and turn it outwards and represent you well. Let them say, Lord, here I am. Let me glorify you this day and do your will this day. Jesus' precious name we pray.